Let's sing together a hymn of praise that lifts up Jesus Christ, I exalt thee.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all.
Let's pray as we continue to worship. Our Father, what a joy it is to gather. And even as we've sung these songs, we are lifting our eyes and hearts up to that place of exaltation of you, Father, as well as the Lord. And we can say Jesus Christ is Lord, certainly in his ascension, in his resurrection, in his sitting at your right hand, of being given sovereignty and rule, he certainly is Lord, and you as well. We, Father, think of just that place, the glory of the throne, the joy of heaven, your place of dwelling and all of its brightness and majesty. And help us now, even today, as we have enjoyed and we do enjoy the pleasures of being saved and knowing the Lord Jesus in our hearts and walking with you, Father, through prayer, through inward relationship, and through the very presence of your Spirit. But we also long for one day when we will rise to the glories of heaven, joint heirs with Christ, ruling with him in ways and future days, the glory of a day to come, vindication, hope, reward. Help us now, even as we kind of muddle through and go along and stay faithful and obedient, but also keep looking up to the hope of heaven to come. Thank you, Lord, for your saving work and the promises that we have. We pray for each one here, for your encouragement, for joy, for help, for strengthening, for grace, for each hour, each step. We commit them to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
From the very beginning, the apostles were proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. It was a radical idea that Jesus Christ, the man, could be the Son of God. It was an idea that challenged the thought of the first century people who heard that idea. It was the very idea behind the gift of salvation that we have, that Jesus Christ, the God-man, could die, could be buried, and then rise again and give us this great gift of salvation, this offer that we have so freely to enjoy even today. But it was a radical idea. In fact, the wheels fell off the bus pretty early in theological terms, because right away people began attacking that idea. And time and time and time again, people said, no, he wasn't really. And so the Apostle Paul, here in the book of Philippians, is giving us this wonderful statement that makes it absolutely clear that this is what the early church was believing and teaching, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only that, he used some of the best, most beautiful, I'll use the phrase, flowery language they possibly could in this passage from Philippians chapter 2, even so much that now some people view this as being a poem, or maybe even a song. This morning we're going to read those words from God's word, then we're going to sing about them, and I've even chosen a little later in the service a very old song, the oldest song in our hymnal. And we're going to lift up this idea of Jesus Christ being Lord of all, Jesus Christ being the one who can be exalted and object of our worship. You follow along with me from Philippians chapter 2. I'll start reading in verse 6. You follow. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every knee should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Would you say with me a very old creed of the church that affirms those ideas about Jesus Christ? Let's recite together the Nicene Creed. You speak those words with me as you believe them in your heart together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church.
I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Sing with me, Jesus' name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord,
is with us, blessed Redeemer.
Bibles, because it might be easier that way. It's number 118, Of the Father's Love Begotten. 118. It is literally the oldest song in our hymnal. Dates back to the 4th century and was written especially for this purpose, to reflect the ideas in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is God Himself. You sing together with us.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, He the source of ending He. Of all things that are, that have been, and in future years shall see, evermore and evermore. Holy heights of heaven adore Him, angel hosts His praises sing, powers, dominions bow before Him, and extol our God and King. Let your tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert sing, evermore and evermore. Christ to Thee with God the Father, and O Holy Ghost to Thee, hymn and chant and high thanksgiving, and unwearied praises be.
Thanks so much. If you are a guest with us for the first time, it's great to have you. And we do have a guest kind of connection packet, a way that you can learn more about our church and ministry if you'd like to get that and look at that. We also have a card that could be filled out if you'd like to be on our regular list, get our bulletin and events and that kind of thing. And you certainly would be welcome to have that available along the way just to stay in touch with us. We also have a candy bar in there if you'd like it as well. So a Fannie Mae chocolate, milk chocolate candy bar. So don't miss out on that. But we'd love to share one of those with you. And just encourage you if we can. We always use your information carefully. We don't spread it around. It's something we kind of keep close to home, and if you do share it with us, we'll always be very respectful of that. If you're here and you plan to come to give, and you don't have to do that in your coming, but again, we have this offering basket here for that. It can be done just in a physical way. You can give online. And then after our communion service time, Lord's Supper, we will have a basket available for what we just call benevolent kind of giving, which goes to people in just various needs of stages of life and things they run into and ways we can help them along the way. And we will have that out for you as well so that you can track with us that way and give if you'd like. I think you can do that online as well, but this is one way you can do it after our communion time. Our service has a lot in it today. So just to give you a quick heads up, we will have a communion service that follows the sermon, and you're welcome to join us. We will make sure you get one of those little cups and a napkin if you'd like, and they have both a little drink portion of it and then also a little cracker on the bottom, and we'll make sure you get one of those right before communion. And then right after that, I'd like to welcome a few of our new members and those who have been baptized. We have kind of an old tradition called the Right Hand of Fellowship, and kind of goes way back in churches, but it's just that extension of our hand and thanking them as they've joined with us, just acknowledging them with you, that you know who they are. And we won't do all of them here this morning, but maybe some of them, just to kind of stay in that loop, you know, of getting that done and recognizing them. But we'd love to do that as well. So right after the communion service and that recognition of folks, we will take just about a 5-minute break or so, maybe a little longer, give you a chance to say hi to others and kind of move in between what we want to do after that. And that, we as a church, we have quarterly business meetings. We often used to put those at night, but we've been doing them right after the service on a Sunday morning. And so I think we're going to try that again. So right after our service, right after the little time of mingling and saying hi and fellowship, if you'd like to stay as a member, and if you'd like not a member, you'd just like to stay, I think we probably only have about 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes of business just to look at our kind of budget up to date, our treasurer's report, some of our minutes from our meetings, maybe just a quick update on some of the refresh updating work we're doing in the church, and we'll be dismissed from that. So if you can stay for a little bit, I'd love to have you do that as well. Okay? We have a evening service tonight again at 6 o'clock. We'll be in the book of 1 Peter and looking at that. Here, let me just take one quick second here. All right, thanks so much. Family business there, so that's my wife I'm talking to. But all right, Father, help us now in our time together. Oh Lord, how we need to be able to lift up our eyes to the heavenly and be encouraged with the glory to come. Thank you, Lord, for those promises, those hopes we have. We've had some in our church have loved ones who've gone home. And oh, what a wonderful place we believe it is based on the brief testimonies of Scripture. But oh, to know that place, that to look forward to that place of vindication and reward and hope. And there may be some here this morning who are discouraged with life, who we live in a world that's just not what it should be. We know that, and things are going wrong, and sometimes we've lost trust in others, and sometimes we're hurting from just the failure of our own physical systems and bodies, and maybe we've had relationships that have broken, and we need encouragement in our hearts today, and we think of these thoughts from our book and study today, and we pray that it will be an encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. The time is going to be just a little shorter because of the other things we kind of need to do here today. But I just want to mention that we kind of picked this up from last week's study. And we talked about the importance of just lowering ourselves as Christ did. We're in that thought of Philippians chapter 1 and 2, and 2 especially here, as we talk about just the need in the church to be unified as a body. The church needs and should be that. That really is at core there in this text. We've been given the tools to do it by our fellowship in the Spirit and by our relationship and what we have in Christ. We have the tools to do that in Him. But it takes also that kind of willingness to humble, to lower, to serve, to act in that manner. And Jesus Himself becomes one who modeled that for us. And so last week we looked at those portions that had to do, if you remember, with His descent as He moved through His life, even then to the what? Do you remember at the very end? To the cross and to His death. That ignominious, a word we don't use a lot, but that awful place of hurt, humiliation, and the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died for us. And while we think of those, we glory in them, we're thankful for them, we also see them, though, as what? That kind of modeling of someone who was willing to bow low for others, for us, and how He gave Himself for us. In our communion today, it's very appropriate as we think of His lowering, His humbling, His lowly-mindedness, and then the way He lived. Now we come to a section that deals more with the idea of that kind of lifting up, and kind of come to a point when, as that day broke, that resurrection day, Jesus burst out from that tomb and was raised to the glories of heaven and ultimately ascended, spending some days on earth, and was seen, but then ascended to heaven and reached a place especially of super exaltation. Beautiful testimony to what He had done. And so we have that turn, that shift from what had been the lowering to the ascending and going up the ladder. And we think of then of this movement of Christ in almost one swoop. He moves to that point of exaltation. And yet, as I would say here at the beginning, even in introduction, there is a sense in which while we think of Christ, we honor Christ, but what else is true? As believers, you and I, as sons of God, sons and daughters of God, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us, that we in turn are raised in respects with Him. Isn't that a great wonder? And we don't want to take anything away from the very exalting of the Lord, but uniquely we are His and we are with Him. And we rejoice with Him and then also move to a place of lifting way beyond our highest imaginations, more than we can know, that we have seen and can understand the glory of those days, that Jesus Christ is the lead one who's gone in a way on before us, and He has taken that place. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, I believe it says, that we have been raised together to those heavenly places in Christ. So in a way, we're already there in Him, but there is a time in which we will experience that lifting. And that future day is yes, a point of glory. I think for every Christian, we all have Christ in us. We do know some joys and stability, the encouragements, a prayer life, all of those things that are ours in the Lord now. But we still stumble along a little bit. We still face some of the challenges and hurts that are a part of this life, of just the trials that come. We still are living in bodies that are not glorified, and they're fallen. And while we enjoy and kind of can rejoice in Christ and know those things in this age, and we do bow to others and help, there is a day coming, isn't there? And I know that's harder for you to see, but there is a day coming, a day of glory, a day of vindication. A day that we can be encouraged by and hope in and trust that that day will arise one day. What a day that will be when we will be there. You know, we've been talking about teamwork and the team labors and maybe have two-a-days and they have burning muscles and they go through the difficulties of maybe a loss that causes them to work harder, and all for the goal of maybe that win and reaching the end of maybe making it to the championship and all of that. And as a team, as a church, we do. We labor together, we bow, we serve with the goal of what? The mission of the gospel, yes, and bringing others to Christ and living in unity in this day and age, but yet we have beyond that a realization of the glory of having lived for Christ faithfully and standing before Him one day and with Him in heaven. And so I want to encourage you with that today. I want you to keep that in mind as you think about your life and your labor and your moving along in God's strength to accomplish what He would have you do. We, in turn, find that hope in what happens to Christ and being His and being with Him. We ascend. There is that hope that we have. We ascend with Him. There is a day of vindication. Things will be made right. And we can be encouraged by that here this morning in Him. Look at the text with me, verses 9 through 11 of chapter 2. And let me just read verse 9. And let me just read all three of these verses. I'll just do it because it's just a short section. And we read them together earlier. But keep now this future element in mind as we look at it. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess openly that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a finale to that. So having lowered Himself then, He is raised to a place of exaltation and ultimate honor. So I kind of want to think of those two pieces this morning, the point of exaltation and then the point of honoring of the Lord Jesus, in which He will have in now and in that day, especially when every knee will bow to Him. Look at your scripture again with me. And as we think of this text, I want you to just think along this line. Jesus, our model of kind of self-lowering, is exalted, we see now in this passage. And that is an encouragement to us, not just to rejoice in the Lord and to know that He is honored, but we as well with Him tag along in ways, and we enjoy the pleasure of knowing that our day of hope and glory is still coming in all of its richness in the day ahead. Look at verse 9 with me, and again, just going back, therefore God has highly exalted Him. The word highly exalted is kind of a combination of two words in the original language that's written here, and it can mean super exalted. He is super exalted in His position and place. It doesn't tell us about when that happened and how that happened here, but He was then taken and given that kind of exalted place meant in the heavens. This reminds us of even Isaiah 52. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you might just keep your finger here and flip back there or turn in your device or your copy of the scriptures. In this great preceding portion of the Isaiah 53 text that points to the Lord Jesus, in chapter 52, right toward the end of that, the text actually starts there. And if you look at verse 12 of chapter 52, Isaiah 52, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. That's the Lord Jesus in this context. There it is. In kind of an Old Testament fulfillment. He will be lifted up. He will be magnified in ways. I'm not sure this means that Jesus would receive some type of new position, but He is in somehow, in His place in the Godhead is intensified or recognized in a way at that point of ascension and glory. I've kind of thought in my own thinking here, along with some scripture passages, that this might be at the time when Jesus Christ was raised and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And in a unique way, he was exalted or lifted up to that place where he sat down, having completed that massive work of redemption's cross sacrificial work, and he sits down having completed that work. And then with a new sense of placement, it says there that he sits down at the right hand of the Father. There's a kind of sovereignty, there's a kind of glory, there's a kind of placement. I wonder even if the very angels themselves didn't break out in that day. We don't know if there were fireworks or if there were songs, but worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You wonder if then the glory and the majesty that went with that new place and position when Jesus Christ died and rose and sat there with the Father in kind of a place of judgment, a place of rulership, and a place of glory, maybe just extending or bringing magnificence to an existing position, but it may be that place of exaltation, especially there. Take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 2. And even starting in verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you now see and hear. And this kind of gives a interpretation. He was not talking about David. He was talking about someone else. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Keep going. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's a very significant time. In that resurrection, in that work of Christ, sitting there at the right hand of the Father, and at that moment especially, God had made that Lord Jesus, the one who in that position now uniquely was there as that one who was declared Lord. The Lord, which was sometimes a word that was used of the name of person of Yahweh, and Christ the Messiah, he sits in honor of having accomplished those things. He said he would die for humankind, and he did. And in his resurrection and ascension, he sits down having completed that work, and he is declared both Lord and Christ. It's just, I always love that text, verse 36. But it has that idea of that point of exalting, that point of glory, that height, that heavenly position, the standing in a completed, based on a completed work and all the glory that he would receive from this. He sat down. Hebrews chapter 1, 3, if you're taking notes, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, he sat down, has that same idea there. What joy, what triumph at that moment. And you and I have that same hope. Christ has accomplished his work of salvation for us, and he is there being a testimony to that saving work. And I would say here this morning, I hope that each of you have come to that place of understanding who Jesus is, that he is the Lord, that he died for your sin, that he rose again, that he can save you today. The scriptures teach us that you and I cannot save ourselves by our own works and righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't do it by our religiosity or our giving or our works or our goodness. We do it through the work of Jesus Christ. God sent the Savior who came and died for us, paid that debt, rose again, giving us a hope for life and life eternal. The scripture teaches us that you and I are responsible then to say, yes, I believe that, and I receive it, and I trust it wholly and wholeheartedly. And I wonder if you've come to that point of understanding your own need, and I say understanding what Jesus has done for you, and where you have come to the point of saying, yes, I want him as mine. I'm trusting him and him alone as my Savior. And as I've talked along with many of you here through our services, coming to that point where you even articulate the belief of your heart to him and just say, Lord, yes, I accept that I'm a sinner. It's right for you to judge me if you'd like, but thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for my sin and rose again. And today, I believe and am trusting in him. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the hope of life eternal. I hope you've taken that kind of step. Certainly, he is exalted in all of that high work and all of that redemptive work. And he has given a name in Acts, in our text in Philippians, as it says in verse 9, and given him the name which is above every name. There's been a lot of writing on that as to what that is. I think personally it's the name Lord. It's just the name that's given to Christ or accentuated in him as Lord. It's in that position, seated with the Father, having sat down, and it's especially highlighted in his ministry. Not something new, but I think something there that is magnified by what Christ has done. He is the Lord. And we will see that that is then acknowledged in this next text, but that's an important step, an important thing to understand. Jesus Christ is Lord. What Kevin had said this morning is that that title, that little phrase, Jesus Christ is Lord, became a kind of common spoken confession of Christians, even in the day of the Philippians, even in a day when a Caesar was there and would have declared that kind of kingship and lordship. But they were people who in their day would say, Jesus Christ is Lord. That'd be a great, great greeting between us. Hello? Yes. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? He is. He stands as that one connected to all that God has done, even connected to the Lord, the name sometimes that is used of the Yahweh of the Old Testament, that great name of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's all of those qualities and attributes, and he stands as sovereign, savior, ruler, lover in ways to us today. He stands there and watches over us today. That's our Jesus. That's our Christ. He is that one. We'll come back to that in just a little bit, but that name, I think that name again is nailed down in a unique way and highlighted for what Christ has done through his saving work especially. But just think of the highness. Just think of the delights of being with him. Just think of heaven to come and the very throne of God and them there together in that place. Something we can't hardly imagine. It was a while back I did a study on the texts that highlight the images of the throne of God, and it is just magnificent. The colors, the schemes of those places that are mentioned in various places in the New Testament, in the Old Testament and New Testament, Revelation, Ezekiel, Isaiah, there are others that have scenes and throne scenes of God's place beyond what we can understand and even fully grasp here today. But the joy of that, oh, to know him, oh, to one day be with him. This is kind of a poor illustration, but when I was in college, I had gone to a church in ministry with some others who we were there serving in that church. It must have been kind of a weeknight that we were there for something special. And some of the guys in that church were fighter pilots, jet fighter pilots. And it was just outside, I think, of Cheyenne. I think there was a base near Cheyenne where they had some of these planes that were there. And two of the men were in that church as members and attending there while they were at the base that they were in up there by Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they said, hey, why don't you guys come out and we'll show you one of the planes. We'll let you look in. And so it was pretty cool. We went out there on the tarmac and then where the plane was parked, and there was a ladder that went up into the cockpit of that plane, and we could climb on up there. And one of the guys actually got in into the plane, and we were looking around at it, kind of could inspect it. But it was a, what would you call it? I guess a fire... What's a fighter jet, one of these fast supersonic jets of that era. This was back a few years ago. But we also then stood there with the pastor was there, maybe a few others, and then some of the guys of the group that I was in. And we watched that plane take off, which was cool in itself. And the boom of that rocket flaming up and firing out the back of that jet, and it's running down the runway and bursting out into the air. Sometimes it's nice to know the right people, isn't it? To go with them out to that place and to uniquely touch and feel and see this. I tell you what, we know the Lord Jesus, don't we? We know the right people, and one day we will stand with him exalted, high. We will stand with the one that has a name above every other name, Lord, and we will be with him. What a joy it is. I was thinking of just the thought of being with the Lord one day, and a song came to mind. There's some history to it, but it's So, well, I think it really harkens back to some of the old Negro spirituals of an era. Some of you know that history, but some of those songs were dear songs. Some of the African-American and Negro folks that lived under the oppression of slavery in that era was just such a tough world and tough life. And so many of them believed in the Lord and longed for glory and for heaven. And there's a song that I was thinking of, and it's just, I think it's the song, No Time to Tarry. No Time to Tarry, for I'm on my way home. Say goodbye, brothers. Say goodbye, sisters. It's okay. No time to tarry, because I'm on my way, where? Home. The glory of that heavenly place was a hope of so many in that area, sweetly. And we sing some of those songs historically, remembering not only the difficulty and tragedy of that time, but the glory of their trust and hope in heaven to come. It was a beautiful thing. And you and I have that same kind of thing. We come to the second piece of this sermon. Number one, we can go ahead and put it up here. Sorry about that. This is the outline. Jesus is exalted to the highest place, and we find encouragement. Exalted, given the name which is above all every name. I've just listed the 2 points right together. And then a second point is that Jesus will be honored by all, and we find encouragement in that. The homage and the confession of that era. If we go to our passage again, we see that brought out in verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, and you could probably translate that, and I've kind of written it into my Bible this way, at the name belonging to him, the name Lord, the name belonging to him, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth. There will be a homage that is giving, an honoring, a recognition to him. At that time, especially, every person and every tongue will what? Verse 11, should what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There are those two pieces there which are so, so beautiful that there will be an honoring and a magnifying of the person of Christ in that time frame. There will be an homage. This really is the purpose statement of this little passage, that in that, or for this purpose, that the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess. That's really the great aim of that exalting and the giving of the name, that people then would especially bow and honor him in who he is. Jesus will be honored by all, and we find encouragement that as well, don't we? We not only would bow our knee to him and honor him as we should, but again, we are encouraged by the fact that that's part of our story as well. We, with him in the days to come, will be with him in that place of honor and glory. The homage, every knee shall bow. Just as interesting, and I think we have time for this, but in Isaiah chapter 45, this is actually quoted in relationship to the very person of God and promise of God's saving work. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 45. And I don't have the page number on our little black Bibles. There are little black Bibles under the chairs that you're welcome to grab and go ahead and follow along with us if you'd like. Isaiah 45, starting in verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. You have escaped from the nations, you have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved images. You who are idolaters, turn back. I am God. I'm the one who saves. Verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow. There it is. And every tongue shall take an oath, shall confess, shall swear allegiance. Every tongue will ultimately do that. Every knee shall bow. Imagine that. Go back to our Philippians text here with me this morning, Philippians chapter 2, when it says that every knee shall bow of those in heaven. The heaven would speak of those likely that are in that spirit domain of all types, both angelic and demonic. Every individual within that unseen world will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus. Those on earth, those living here physically, and part of this structure, and under the earth, all those who are in the grave and awaiting a day, those who are in the grave, they will all one day bow their knee. And every tongue, just give you this last thought in conclusion, and every tongue, confess, will profess openly that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Again, as I said, that phrasing itself comes from Isaiah here. And the confession of this is that which will bring glory to the Father. There's a lot we could say here about this expression, but imagine the glory of that moment. While this is accepted in Philippi and among those Philippians, Jesus Christ is Lord, it is something that we would declare openly today as well. One of the men that I appreciate in his writing and message work wrote this statement, Kent Hughes, on this topic about our giving confession to who the Lord is. The gospel triad, Jesus Christ is Lord. He talks about Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, Lord, ruler, sovereign one, is what we confess today when we gather for worship and confession. That is a shadow and anticipation of what will be ultimately offered by all the universe. For every tongue of every rational being in all creation will confess that Jesus, Messiah, is Lord, Yahweh. Every believer, believing heart will cry it to the top of its lungs in voice and song. And we with the angels will do it over and over and over for all eternity. Every unbelieving heart will confess it too. In dismal submission and despair, even Satan will do it. His knee and his tongue will not be excluded. Every fallen spirit will do it. Legion upon legion will do it. Caiaphas will confess that Jesus, Messiah, is Lord. Herod will do it. Pilate will do it. Nero will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hitler will do it. Stalin will do it. Every soul from every age will confess that Jesus, Messiah, is Lord, Yahweh. And this lordship of Christ will be all to the glory of God and Father. We can think of historical people. We can think of the unseen world and all of its magnitude. All of them will one day do what? And I don't know that I can get down there and get back up, but I could try. They will what? Bow down and bend the knee. A physical testimony to what? Honor and homage. Every one of them will bow to him one day, the Lord Jesus Christ. And will say and confess with their mouth, what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Belt it out, will you? Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. Amen. He's ours, and we stand with him. Now I've got to get back up here. I think I can do it. What a day. Amen. And today as we partake in the Lord's Supper, just remember that. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's just not an honoring of him. We bow and we declare, and yes, we glory. And in a way, we are gathered with him as sons and daughters, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with him in the highest of the heavenly places in Christ. We stand with him, maybe even to reign with him as we've suffered with him, as it says in 2 Timothy. He is ours and we are with him. We know the right people in this case. And friend, just in a very practical way, as you have bowed and served, as you have bent low for others, just remember that your glory your glory, the day of vindication, the honors are all coming as we with him will be rewarded and lifted one day. Count on that. Be encouraged by that. Take the next step. Be that godly person in life right now with a similar hope that he is ours and we are his. And we can rejoice in him today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who has never believed and received Christ, what a joy it would be for them to turn to the one who is Lord, trusting in him as Savior. Help them today, we pray. If not to pursue it, to look into it, to investigate it, work in their hearts, we pray. And for all of us as believers, thank you, Father, for your work for us in Christ, through Christ, and the glory that we face and enjoy and ultimately will experience with him one day. We ask these things and confess these things and express our great appreciation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to go ahead to our communion service. And if you're with us as a friend and you're new, maybe you're not used to taking communion, we'd love to have you join us. If you're a Christian and a believer and you know Christ as your Savior, this is an act of giving witness and testimony, a memorial of what Christ has done, both his body and the shedding of his blood. If you haven't received one of these, we've got one of our ushers here and maybe a couple that have a tray. We've got some over here and some along the way here. Maybe we can come on through here this way, John. I think there's some over here. There's some over here as well to this side, and we can catch those. Anybody else over here? Did not get one of those? Ben, did you need one? Okay. Others here? Okay. Ben still needs one over here. You got enough there, Kent?
Got enough.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, again, as we partake together, we're reminded of the great sacrifice, of course. But I think we can all kind of think forward, too, to the very glory that comes to Christ in his being exalted. And just turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we often refer to these verses as we partake together just to be reminded of these things. And the Bible tells us here, "For I received from the Lord," Paul writing about the Lord's instruction to him, "that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Our communion time does not add grace to our God's saving work. As a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, they become a child of God and his, and fully secure and assured of that place in the Lord. Communion is a remembrance of what Christ has done. It doesn't further save us, but it's an act of being reminded and remembering what he's done. So as we do this morning, you can think in on the body of Christ through the bread, the remembrance of his work for us. You can think through the very shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, through the drink that we drink. And thank the Lord for those elements of his sacrifice for us. And that's really the purpose of our communion time. And as a believer, if you've placed your trust in the Lord, you're welcome to join us as well as we partake together in this time. Looking at the scriptures again, the first thing they remembered together and honored here was the giving of thanks for the very body of Christ. So at the bottom of the little unit there, there's a cracker. You can peel that portion back on the bottom and take that cracker and use that to participate with us here this morning. A reminder of those things that the Lord has done in the giving of his flesh and his body and his coming into the earth. We'd like to sing just a song. As we sing that song, you might take time to think and meditate and maybe do some individual work between you and the Lord. It can be a time to confess sin. It can be a time to thank the Lord for what he's done. But as we partake, in fact, I think we'll do this just at the closing, I think is all we've got there, right? I'm trying to think, I think that's just at the closing. So we'll just have the piano play for just a moment. for a little bit of meditation, and then I'll lead us in prayer, and we will then partake together, okay? Let's just meditate for just a minute on what we're going to do here together, okay? Father, thank you so much for the incarnation and for your coming in flesh to actually pay the debt of our sin. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, as we remember again and again the joy of that saving work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just reading from the scripture here, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup. You want to get that ready and do that here, just in preparation. And let me lead us in prayer. I think we'll just skip the meditation portion of that. Lynn, thank you. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for the shedding of blood, a testimony to thousands and thousands of sacrifices that preceded, but the one perfect sacrifice in Christ that was made for us. Thank you for his death and the efficacy of that act to pay the debt, to pay our sinful debt, to allow us to come to receive the free gift of his saving offer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, a third element of this in the drinking of the cup here. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." All right. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We'll sing that song in just a minute, but I would like to just take a moment and have some of our newest members, some who've been baptized, some who've joined with us, and just to acknowledge them in kind of a right hand of fellowship manner. Marie, you're welcome to stay there. We did this kind of with you before, but I don't think we ever did a right hand of fellowship. And you gave your testimony, and I don't want to spread my germs too much here, but welcome.
Thank you.
Mary's over here on this side, and what a joy it is to have her a part of our church and participating. Ben, over there, you want to come, bud? I'm going to have some of you come up, maybe a few of you at least. I don't know if Abby's up there. She's handling the stuff. She's waving up there, so we'll do that. Ben, you may be the only one up here. You dressed just for this, I think, didn't you, this morning? And Matt, are you down here? Matt's got to come on up, Matt. We'll at least get a few of you up here. And then we'll take a few of these others when we have a husband along with and do that. There's one other. Abby's up there. Okay. You guys, welcome to our church, Matt and Ben. And it's been a joy to work with you guys through all of this process. But can we just give them a hand of applause? And yeah. We don't have a lot of time in between, but well, make sure you stop and welcome them and express your joy for them becoming a part of our church in this kind of second step of baptism and becoming more engaged and involved in membership. So, all right, let's just sing this song. Why don't we stand together? "May the mind of Christ my Savior." Let's sing that together as we conclude, okay?
May the mind of Christ my Savior fill me as the waters fill. This is victory.
Amen. Thank you so much. We'll dismiss you, and then maybe in about 5 minutes, for those of you who are staying for our business meeting, can just kind of come back in, and we'll get started in just a little bit.